to, instead of reading the whole thing, you can read all of it. But I'll start at verse maybe 13. But this is a beautiful chapter if you have a taste for birds and beasts and you want to know a little bit more about the Word of God. If you just like the easier parts, but you really won't understand the Bible if you just read a couple of easy verses of scriptures and that's it. Because God has a plan, the mind of God and the plan of God. And that's why you have a church. And that's why you have the ministry. Do you think that in, was it Corinth or where they search the scriptures daily? The men of Berea were more nobler. Because with a readiness of mind, they receive the word and search or study the scriptures daily. They weren't always running around the building. They had their shouting time. But they searched the scriptures daily. Search it. Going from verse to verse, chapter to chapter, back and forth. Searching it to see if those things were so. That the apostle, they were matching it up with the prophets. And we are living today when we don't search the Bible. And preachers know that. Don't give the people too much. Give them a few verse and get them excited and get them all stirred up and shouting and dancing in the pew, and that's good. But and then they'll come back. But if you really tell them to bring their Bibles out and a notebook, some will fall asleep and some will not come back. But some will come back. But you'll have a better church because people will begin to love God more. And we are saved by knowledge. Okay? The wise virgins had oil or knowledge, oil in their vessel with their lamps. We have this treasure in earthen vessel. That's where it's not a little lamp outside, it's inside of you that you have you are the container that God may dwell in our hearts by faith. So we are the container of the things of God. We have this treasure in earthen vessel. That's us. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are on the side studying for ordination, predestination, election. And all of these that we're touching on this, you know, but nobody can really explain predestination or foreknowledge in depth. No one. Because that goes beyond us. That goes into the mind of God, the secret things of God. See, God has a revealed will, and he has a secret will. And God has a way that he can say something in one scripture, and he hides it, the real meaning. He's saying something, but he really saying something else. Do you understand how God works? And you just grab that and say, that's what it means, but it means something else. And for example, someplace in the scripture you'll see water. But that doesn't mean water. It can mean something else. It can even mean people or nations. So we need to understand the Bible, and we need to have the scripture explained to us. Because God say something and do something. Here is in Acts the 10th chapter. He's telling Peter over in Acts the 10th chapter. He's telling Peter to arise. He let that sheet down for three times, first, second, and then in the, is it the ninth? Chapter 10 in Acts the 10th chapter, we'll come back to Leviticus 11, but right now in Acts the, so you can understand, I'm trying to bring you so you can understand, okay? Verse 9, there was a certain man in Caesarea, verse 9, on the morrow, as they went, where did he appear to Peter? Just go to the part where he appeared to Peter and the sheet. And there came a voice from heaven. Is that verse 12? Verse 12, where the sheep let down. Verse 11, go there. And he saw heaven's open. Remember, he went on the top of the roof to pray while supper was being made ready. He was very hungry, and he got very hungry, and he fell into a trance. That's the start of the lesson. And he saw the heavens open, and a certain, notice where he saw. Notice what he saw. He saw the heavens open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners. Whenever you see four, it represents the earth. Four, the end of things, the earth. It says that it was knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. Where did it come from? From heaven. You mean that sheet came down from heaven? But it's in the Word of God, right? That's not men wrote that or talking, but it's in the Word of God. Wherein were all manner of four-footed, pay attention, all manner of four, let's read it, four-footed beasts of the earth. But it came down from heaven. And all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts. And creeping, notice what? Creeping things. And fowls of the air. On a line that you see, fowls of the air. What a vision that was. But notice, and there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter." He was hungry. "Rise, kill, and eat." Verse 14, but Peter said, what did Peter say? Read it. "Not so, Lord." So that he knew where the voice came from. He knew that was the Lord. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." It shows you now, follow the lesson, how God is opening up doors, another door, doing, he's going to make another move, and how he's bringing Peter into it, how it takes a while to do this, to make changes, and God was going to do something, getting ready to do something wonderful. But he had to get Peter ready. But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Now, Peter was looking at all those four-footed beasts and creeping things, fowls of the air, wild beasts. Can you imagine what he saw? And then the voice says, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." 16 says, verse 16 says, is it 15? 14, okay. "And the voice spake unto him again." That's Second time. The voice spake unto him the second time. Follow me. What God, notice that it was God. It was God all the time. God all the time. What God had cleansed. That call not thou common. So God had cleansed these wild beasts and creeping things and birds, fowls. This was done thrice. And the vessel was received, notice, it was received up again into heaven. Went back up to the Lord. Came down from the Lord. So this was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Verse 16 says, this was done three times. Is that three times? And the vessel was received up again into heaven. This is you follow, because I'm going slow, because this is a beautiful lesson. You can't, this is not a lesson you rush through. It's a very, very beautiful lesson, but it's a technical lesson. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted, notice what he was doing, he was doubting in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean. Behold, notice why he was out there doubting and wondering. There's a knock. Because earlier, there was a man by the name of Cornelius, and he also had a vision. And he had a vision before Peter had his vision. And Cornelius was told to send men to Joppa to Simon Peter. Mm-hmm. You following how God works? Yeah. And when God wants to save you or save your loved one, yeah, it's no problem for God. No. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. God knew and sent the exact address. He knows where you live, don't he? Nobody can hide from God. God knows all about us. Verse 18. And call and ask whither Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter, is it chapter, verse 19? While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said, notice, I'm going through this so you can get it. The Spirit said unto Peter, behold, he was in there doubting and thinking, said, there's three men outside waiting. Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, get off the roof, get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing. For I, God, that's the Lord, the voice that spoke. I'm showing you that God is in all of this, okay? Nothing doubting. For I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he. I'm Peter, the one that you seek. What is the cause wherefore you are come? You are come. Why are you here? And then they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. So, do you see it's outlined the story, what happened? Isn't it beautiful? And so Peter went on, and Cornelius' house accepted, received the Holy Spirit, and there. But here's the lesson. Go back and said, he saw the sheet that was let down with all manner of unclean beasts, birds, ravenous birds, eagles. You name all of that. It names it. Then over in, but notice here, in when God does things, how God can, we have the Old Testament and we have the New Testament. And someone said, I don't read the Old Testament. It's I don't go under the law. But how are you going to understand the New Testament? Because God will say things in the Old Testament and hide things in the Old Testament, and then he revealed them in the New Testament. So here in Leviticus chapter 11, and you can read all of the chapter for yourself. I cut it short because of time. But down in verse 13, and well, I there's so much that I could read, and I need to read for people who, some people don't read their Bible, so I need to read. Let me go to verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying unto them, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, these are the beasts which ye shall not eat among all, which ye shall eat, rather, among all the beasts that are upon the earth. Some were clean. Whatsoever parted the hoofs, and is cloven footed, and cheweth the cud among the beasts, that ye shall eat. Nevertheless, these shall ye not eat of them that chew the cud, or of them that divide the hoof. The camel, because he, notice, the camel, he cheweth the cud, but divided not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. The coney, because he cheweth the cud, but divided not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. The ear, and it goes on down. Then, verse 9. Go on to verse 9. These shall ye not eat. These shall ye eat of all that are in the waters. Like he's going to fish. Whatsoever at fins and scales in the water, in the sea and in the rivers, them shall ye eat. And all that have not fins and scales in the seas and in the rivers, of all that moved in the waters, and of anything which is in the waters, they shall be an abomination unto you. Now verse 11, they shall be even an abomination unto you. Ye shall not eat of their flesh, but ye shall have their carcasses in abomination. Whatsoever at no fins nor scaled in the water, that shall ye be an abomination unto you. And these are they which ye shall have in abomination among the fowls. Verse 13, pay attention now. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. Notice, the eagle, the ossifrage, the osprey, the vulture, the kite, after his kind, and every raven after his kind. See, these are the ones that, not the clean beasts, but the unclean beasts. These are all that was let down from verse 13. Every raven after his kind. The owl, the night hawk, the cuckoo and the hawk after his kind, the little owl and the cormorant and the great owl, and the swan and the pelican and the jeer eagle. Now you might say, God just put these in here. If you study the Bible, you'll find why God put these in here and what he's talking about. Okay? Now, the stork, the heron after her kind, and the lapwing, and the bat. All fowl that creepeth, going upon four, shall be an abomination unto you. Yet these may ye eat of every flying, creeping thing that goeth upon all four, which have legs above their feet, to leap withal upon the earth. Okay, then the locusts, and then it goes on. But back to, you see, go back to verse 13. Gives you explain to you of the unclean beast. They explain there in verse 13 to verse 19 deals with the ones that you should not eat. Okay, like the stork and the heron in verse 19, of all of the kinds, and the lapwings and so. So here's what Peter saw. Are you following? Yeah. A sheet let down with all of these unclean. And they, here under the law, they were told not to eat it. I mean, understand now. They were told not to eat it. So Peter's mind, when the sheet came to him, and now the Lord is saying, rise, kill and eat. But remember now, Peter was still under the law. Pentecost came, but he still had the mind. He was with Jesus, but his mind was still under the law. And now, they were told under the law not to eat it. It was an abomination. And now the Lord is changing him. God has a right to do that. Because God was going to make a new move. God was going to do a new thing. And one dispensation was coming to an end. And another one would be open. Now, how awesome is the scripture? Because God used it that they were told, the Jews were told not to eat it. And he used it to open up the dispensation of the gospel to the Gentiles. Amen. You ought to give God a praise for that. Yeah. These unclean birds and beasts were representing the nations that did not know God. They were not cleansed. They were not washed. They did not have the law. So now, when God said to Peter, arise, the Lord said, arise, kill and eat. Not so, Lord. Because what came in his mind when he saw those birds? The scripture. They were told not even to touch them. And they were not supposed to eat them. That's what the scripture says. But now the Lord is saying, arise. The Lord was saying it. And Peter said, no, not so, Lord. For I have never eaten anything that was common or that was unclean. Cornelius was a Gentile, and he became the first Gentile convert. And the Lord was sending Peter to a Gentile. Because God, all through the scripture that we will get into it, and we've been going into it, God prophesied through the prophets. And the promise was made to Abraham that in thee would all nations be blessed. And the prophets prophesied that the nations, the Gentiles, would turn to God. Many among the Gentiles would turn to God. Now, I don't want to go ahead of myself. We will get back here, but in Malachi, prophesying, the first chapter, and I think the fourth chapter of, go with me, help me, Malachi, I think it's verse 11, Malachi chapter 1. Look at Malachi chapter 1, verse 11. What does it say here in verse? Notice here that from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name. This was a prophecy. Amen. This was because of the foreknowledge of God and the predestinating power of God, and known unto God are all things. See, he says that from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place where incense shall be offered in my name. Now let me ask you tonight. Are we Gentiles? Yes. Is his name great among us tonight? Yes. What other name? Is there another name that you love like the name of Jesus? Or is his name the greatest name? When you lift up your hands and begin to praise and pray, whose name do you call upon? Is his name greater than your mother's name or your father's name? Or your loved one's name? What is the sweetest name?
Jesus.
And when you offer up incense, that's your sacrifice of praise. When you worship him, in whose name do you worship? But here's a prophecy that from the rising of the sun, even to the going down thereof of the same, my name shall be great all over the world tonight, all around the world tonight. He has a great name. My name shall be great among the Gentiles and in every place. In every place, what are we offering up tonight? Praises, incense, tears, sacrifices of praise. My name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name. And notice this. Look at that. Look at the scripture and shout. Pay attention. I'm trying to get you focus on the Bible. Yeah. You know, we go to school and we have loose thoughts. That's why it's dangerous to just listening this, listening to that, and you're not meditating and focusing. Yeah. Unless you're meditating and focusing and getting something out of that and understanding, you're not getting anything. Yeah. But here's what it says now. Read that. And in every place, incense shall be offered unto my name. And what else? And a pure offering. A what? A pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. A pure offering. Not the blood of bulls and goats or turtle dove. But a pure offering. What is the pure offering? What is the pure offering? Is Jesus the pure offering? Was it a prophecy? Prophecy of the Son of God that would come? And even among the Gentiles? It tells you right there. It tells you about the Gentiles, among the Gentiles, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. Now, remember that the Gentiles were unclean, like those birds. They were not to be eaten. They were unclean. The eagle was not to be eaten. Unclean. But here is prophesying that among the Gentiles, his name would be great. And a pure offering. What name do we come in tonight? Whose name? No idols, no wood, no stones. We don't bring turtle doves or lambs, but we bring a pure offering.
Amen.
Tonight.
Amen.
The Gentiles said would bring a pure offering. A sacrifice unto God. And giving God praises and worshiping the Lord. That was prophesied. Now, but remember now, how can we bring a pure offering to God when we were unclean? Birds. Don't eat those. Don't touch those. It's an abomination. How can we bring a pure offering? You remember what the Lord said to Peter? When he said, rise up, kill and eat. Not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything that was common or that was unclean. And the Lord says, what I've cleansed, what I've cleansed, call not thou common or unclean. The Gentiles were. I need several scripture here from before. Let me go ahead of myself a little bit into Job. Let me go to the 14th chapter of Job and read some scripture. I want you to get the message early in the 14th chapter of the book of Job. Start at verse 1. Job chapter 14. And verse 1 says, No, notice here. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow. And continue it not. And dost thou open, notice, and dost thou open thine eyes upon such a one? Listen, how could God look on such a one? And bringest me into judgment with thee? Now, here's a question. Let's park here a little bit now. Read it. Ooh, it's a question. But Job should not answer it. He should have asked the question and leave it. But it says, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? And Job said, not one. Now you go back to the scripture. And here was these unclean beasts. These unclean birds. Creeping things. Let down, wild beasts let down from heaven in a sheep. Arise, kill and eat. Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that was common or unclean. Now, call not what I've cleansed common or unclean. And Job says, who can bring a clean thing out of the unclean? You remember that I stated earlier that the Gentiles, we were looked upon as unclean. We were not partakers of the covenant, but we were strangers. And we were aliens and strangers in the commonwealth of Israel. I need another scripture where, let me see, go to Job 28. Look at verse 28 and verse 7. There's a path which no fowl know it, and which the verse 28 verse 7. Okay, but I also need another one where about the Job spoke about, and it's also in Matthew and Luke, where he spoke about the. And the Lord spoke about it in Matthew and in also in Luke, where he speaks about that where the slain is, the carcass is, the body is, there the eagles will be gathered. Do you have that in, is it Luke? You find me there now, those scriptures. But I also need another verse of scripture. What chapter? What verse?
Matthew 24.
Look at Matthew 24. Go there first. But let me see what I have here in Job, and then I'll go there. In Job the.
Matthew 24.
Let me get Job first, and then you hold on. Job 28. Is it? The one I asked for. 28 verse 7 says. Okay, there's a path which no fowl know it, and which the vulture's eyes have not seen. Okay. And that path, we know that was the path of righteousness. And what 39:30 says? Okay, Job 39, verse 30. Okay, her young one, 39, verse 30. That's a good scripture. That's the one I was looking for. And it's also in Matthew. I need that in Matthew. Now, verse 39, verse 30. Go up a little bit there where verse 26. Doeth the ark fly by thy wisdom and stretch out her wings towards the south? Doeth the eagle mount up at thy command and make it her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. From thence, notice, from thence she seeketh her prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Here's it. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, notice, and where the slain are, there she is. Now, the eagle sits up high on a rock and can see afar off. And wherever the slain, where the slain are, there she is. In Matthew, I'll come back here. In Matthew, the 24th chapter.
Verse 28.
Verse 27. Let me see. Go to verse 27. As the lightning comes, he's talking about the second coming of Christ.
Of the east.
Coming out of the east and shining even unto the west.
So
So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 28. And there's another one, I think, in Luke, verse that I need. For wheresoever, on the line, follow me now, you should be following me. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagle be gathered together. Now Job says, we just had that. We just had that, said about the eagle that dwelleth on high. And from thence she seek her prey. And her eyes behold afar off. Read me, and her young ones also suck up blood. Where the slain are, there is she. Read Luke now.
Luke 17:37
says, and they answered and said
unto
Jesus, him,
where, Lord?
Where, Lord?
And he said unto them,
wheresoever the body or the carcass or the slain, same thing,
theater
will the eagles be Gentiles, the unclean, the sheep let down from heaven. See, where the eagles, she sits on high and look down and sees her prey from afar off. Her young ones also sucked up blood, and where the slain are, there is she. Now there was a man called Jesus that was slain. And he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. Now these unclean beasts, birds, eagles, the eagles are wherever the slain is. Remember now, she was unclean. And she's unclean, not a part of the covenant. You couldn't touch them. You could not. They're not supposed to be eaten. But there was something about the eagle that wherever the slain is, wherever the body is or the carcass is, the eagles will be gathered together. Matthew 24:28. And the body of Jesus laid on the cross. And the eagles, Gentile nations, that were unclean, when the sun was slain from, and when he rose again from the rising of the sun,
amen,
to the going down thereof, this body, this Christ, this Savior, that should come into the world and was slain, He was slain. And the eagles, though unclean, was not a part of the covenant, but where the body, where the slain was, where Jesus died, they found it. They found it. Where Jesus died, they found it. And they were, what did they do? What did they do? They gathered together. They gathered together. And what did they do? They started feasting upon the flesh of the slain. They, along with their young ones, suck up blood. Their offspring. They begin to suck up the blood of Jesus Christ. Now the amazing thing, let me go forward for time. In John the 6th chapter, If you go to John quickly, and we'll pick it up Sunday morning. But in John the sixth chapter, where Jesus was speaking in the sixth chapter of John, and he told them, unless you eat my flesh, you find it, and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Yes, and there's a, he was the bread of life, remember? Verse 51, that came down from heaven, and if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh. Shout. Which I will give for the life of the world. Then verse 48. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man might eat and not die. For I am the living bread. Okay? Verse 53. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, are you shouting? And drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Now, arise, Peter, kill and eat. Not so, Lord. Never eaten anything that was common or unclean. Whatever I've cleansed, whatsoever I've cleansed, call not thou common or unclean. Now the Gentiles or the eagles were unclean. And nothing could cleanse them. The ceremonial law could not cleanse them. Nothing could cleanse them. Nothing could change them, the nature of the Gentiles, or bring them into the covenant. But when Jesus was slain on the cross, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, Jesus said to the Syrophoenician woman, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to give it to the dogs. She said, true, Lord. But the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Now here, when this body, Christ, was slain on the cross, the eagles found it, found the body. And when they began eating that body and fed it to their offspring, what happened was that that body and the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed them. The blood of Jesus Christ, if you walk in the light, even as in the light, if you feast, take, eat, this is my body, this is my blood, which was shed for you. When Christ died and the gospel was given to the Gentiles, and they found the body of Jesus Christ, and they began to eat the body and drink the blood of Jesus Christ, they were not unclean anymore, because they were cleansed by the power and by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why we're here tonight. We who were sometimes darkness, we were unclean. But tonight we're clean by the words which he have spoken, because we've been eating the flesh and drinking the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been brought into the covenant promises. So Job says that where the who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Job said, not one, but no. Wait, Job. The Lord, God can do it. Because when he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, his flesh died, his blood was slain. And when the unclean, listen, when the unclean found that body and found that blood, you remember the night when you came to the cross? And you found the body, you found the blood, and all your sins were washed away. You came in unclean, but you left cleansed by the power of Almighty God. Who can bring a clean thing? The fall of Adam. In Adam we died. We were unclean. Leprosy. We did not know the way to God. But because of the grace and the mercies of God, we found a slain body. We found the body of Jesus Christ. And we begin to eat his flesh. The flesh of the word. That's why you're here. That's why you can't stop. That's why you love God. We begin to eat the flesh of the Son of God and drink the blood. And he brought us out of darkness into light. He brought us out of an unclean state, out of the fall, and into the life of God, and placed us into the last Adam. He, and only God alone, through the blood of Jesus Christ, can bring us out of this unclean state that we were in. And now we're clean. I said we're clean. We're clean by the word of Almighty God. Hallelujah. So God, and only God, when he cleansed you, what I've cleansed, call not thou common, nor unclean. Because tonight, we are sons and daughters of the living God. Amen. Praise God.